Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
All right, thank you. That's better. That's what I expect from New Life. Well, we are continuing our series called Reroute. And in the next 3 to 4 weeks, I'm going to talk about rerouting our health. We're going to talk about spirit, soul, and body. A lot of times we get in a rut. We get into a ditch in life. And this happens also with our health, with our attitude. Some of us get bitter, get angry, get negative. And God, in His Word, provided a whole bunch of instructions on how we can live a happy and joyful life. Did you know God wants you to be blessed? You know what the word means from translated in Greek and in Hebrew means? Happy. Blessed means happy. How many scriptures, probably thousands of scriptures in the Bible talks about a blessing of the Lord? He wants us to be happy, to be blessed, to be full of joy. I want to read a few scriptures from the Bible, and there's many of them. I just picked 3 to start our series. Let's go to Proverbs 17:22. Let's read this. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart, what does that mean? A happy heart. It doesn't mean a negative heart. It talks about being having a happy heart. And what it does, it acts like medicine. Let's open to Philippians 4:4. This one, you should remember, it's an easy one. Let's read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. How often should you rejoice? How often should you be happy and full of joy? Always. Let's open to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And this one you can learn by memory, people. You should know this one. It says what? Rejoice always. Now, some of you came to church this morning and you weren't rejoicing. Because when I said, are you ready for the Word of God? You said, yeah. Don't sin on me now by being negative. Because Bible says, no, I'm kidding, but Bible says that God wants us to rejoice. So in the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about from the Bible how to live a happy and healthy life. Listen, I'm not a doctor, so if you have some medical issue, go to your doctor. But I do know that Bible talks a lot about our health. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So today, number one sermon in this series is going to be called The Power of Joy and Laughter. So if you're writing down, we're going to talk today about the power of joy and laughter. Now, what does joy and laughter have to do with our health? What does joy and laughter has to do with our health? The first scripture we read, it says a merry heart is like a medicine. In the Bible, God says that joy and laughter has a lot to do with your health. Let me talk practically to you. When you are happy, do you have more energy or less?
More.
When you're negative, do you have more energy or less?
Less.
Less. Your happiness, your state of joy of your heart has direct effect on your body, on your physical body. When we're joyful, we have energy to accomplish things in life. When we're negative, we just lay like a bag of chips. Have you ever felt like a bag of chips? Just like potato chips. And you know, the older I get, the more I study myself, I realize that when I'm negative, I don't accomplish as much. But when I'm happy and joyful, I accomplish a whole lot more. Joy has a lot to do, happiness, state of being, the happy state of being, the blessed state of being. See, a lot of you would say, I am blessed, but you don't act like it. Come on. A lot of you, I will say, are you blessed today? And you would say, yes, I am. But you, yes, I am, Pastor. I feel so blessed by the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor Alex. But you're not really acting happy. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to live in a state of joy. Point number one. I'll get right to it. Human beings were created to live in the environment of joy and happiness. Proverbs 17:2, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries out the bones. Did you know that Adam and Eve were created to live in a state of joy and happiness? The first thing God did before he released them, he blessed them. And what it means, he put a state of happiness on them. As a Christian, God has put a state, a force. The force be with you. He has put a force of joy and happiness over you. That's why Paul, writing from prison, says, rejoice always. We can remember that. Rejoice, it's a verse. Rejoice always. Writing from prison. Paul, how can you say that? Because he has found that his joy and happiness does not depend on his circumstances. He always had something to rejoice about, and we're going to talk about that in this series. I do understand that some people here today are going through a hard time. A lady came to me before the service and said that her mother passed away. And I'm like, oh shoot, how am I going to preach this message today? I know you might have somebody sick in a hospital today, a family member, a relative, or a friend. I am conscious of that. But what God says to us is that our happiness, our blessing does not stop flowing when bad things happen in our life. Amen. One thing is sure and constant in life is that things will happen in life. Amen. The storms will come. Jesus said this, when you build your house on a rock, there's two types of people. Some people build their house on the sand, and some people build their house on a rock. And he says, when the storm came, the house that was built on the sand fell down. But the house that's built on a rock, and who is that rock, people?
Jesus
Christ. The house that's built on Jesus will stand for eternity. No storm, no wind, no trouble, no hurricane will be able to knock it down. And that's what I'm preaching today. Every Sunday we're building. We're building people. We're speaking the word that builds us up. We were created to live in a state of happiness and joy. Just like a fish was created to live in water. Take it out of the water and see how happy it is. Right? Just like the bird, like an eagle, was created to soar. And that's where it's happiest the most. Human beings, you and me, were created to live in not negativity, not in depression, but we were created to live in a state of joy, no matter what the circumstances are. Parents, let me ask you a question. Where do babies prosper the most? In an angry, negative houses or happy and joyful houses? God wants his children to be full of joy. Jesus said, I came here to give you life to the fullest, joy to the fullest, so your joy would be complete, he said. Some Christians, we say, we'll be joyful when we get to heaven. That's when we'll really be joyful, Pastor Alex. Yes, that's true. But God said, I want you to rejoice here always. It's a state of mind. It's a state of attitude. Kids flourish in an environment of joy. Joy is a state of being where your spirit, soul, and body prospers. Some of you have gone to negative religious churches where it was taught that you need to be sad and cry because everything is bad. And I don't disagree. There is time for being sad. There is time to cry, Bible says. And there's time to laugh. But in general, we were created for joy. Amen. Amen. Bible says, joy and laughter is like medicine. Our bodies get beat up in this world. Our souls get beat up. Negative things happen. Somebody said something. And you know what? Sometimes just one little comment, and we just lost all our good spirit. God says, when you walk in joy, no person will be able to steal that good spirit in you. You know your enemies hate joy? You know your haters, and you got some. I've noticed this, that when I had to walk into a room where people kind of don't like you, and you come like this, they beat up on you more. But when you come in and say, I'm here, how you doing, everybody? They go what's going on? They leave. Because joy has power. It's a force that you create and put all around you. I know it's not the right theological word that I'm using, but I'm trying to explain it in simple language, that joy has creates a force around you. Walk in joy, and your enemies will turn their heads. The devil hates it when we walk in joy, because we have that force around us. Number two, joyful heart helps your body function better. I was doing my research this week, and I found out that Dr. Norman Cousin from Department of Behavioral Health at UCLA Medical School has done an extensive research on laughter and joy. And this is what he found out, that happiness and joy is perfect antidote for stress. It lowers your blood pressure when you're happy, when you laugh. It elevates your mood, boosts your immune system. People who are happier live longer, okay? Improves your brain function, protects your heart, connects you to others, fosters instant relaxation, makes you feel good. Without humor, your thought process gets stuck. You get stuck in that negative. You get stuck there. And you can't think creatively because you're negative. As I'm getting older, I don't want to waste life being negative. I don't want to watch TV and celebrate somebody else's gift while my gift is being buried. I want to get out, get up from my couch, and go do more. I got so much more that I want to accomplish, and I can't do it in a negative state. I gotta lift myself to the state I was created to be in, and that's joy. Dr. Don Colbert, I have his book called Seven Pillars of Health. He says this, he says, I recommend to my cancer patient to do 10 belly laughs, at least 10 belly laughs a day. It releases a hormone that makes you feel better. There's so many medical benefits of living a life of joy, people. Bible said, Solomon said this 3,000 years ago before we knew the benefits of joy. God knows what we need. And God wants us to walk in joy. So turn to your neighbor and smile big. Would you do that? Smile big. Because I'm preaching on joy and some of you are like, all right, that's better. See, you feel better already. Christians have been known to be negative. And that's not a testimony. And that's not what unbelievers are attracted to. Why would I want to go to that church when they're all like, pastors like, the people like rolling their eyes, everything he says. Why would I want to go there? I want to go where there's fun. I want our church to be a fun place to go to, where you go and your mood is lifted. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, Bible says. You came to the presence of the Lord. You don't bring your atmosphere in here. The Lord brings His here, and you enter in. That's why if you come here negative, we're not going to become negative. We're gonna rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Joy increases your emotional strength. Nehemiah 8:10, do not sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Satan knows this, and he wants to steal your joy. He wants to, sometimes nothing bad happened, and you already feel like you have no joy. Jesus said this, do not allow your hearts to be troubled, and don't be dismayed. Do not allow anything to trouble your heart. Stay, keep that state of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Have you ever wanted to read your Bible but had no strength to do it? Not that you didn't have any physical strength. Have you ever wanted to pray? Have you ever wanted to go and exercise? Have you ever wanted to go to the park with your kids? Have you ever wanted to play checkers with your kids or Uno with your kids but just no energy? What is that? You have no strength. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord gives power to your willpower. And that's what makes you rise up and do it. Many of you have a call on your life, but the reason you don't do it because you don't have the willpower to do it. God has a call on your life, but you don't have any energy. Why? Because you're negative. Start walking in joy. You know, faith is not negative. Faith is positive. Let me give you the difference between faith and fear. Faith says, I can do it. Faith says, there's no limit. Faith says, I'm not done yet. I'm not old, too old for this. That's what faith says. Abraham was a man of faith, and that's how he pleased God. 75 years old, no children. God says, I'm going to give you a child. And he says, yes, I believe God. Faith says, yes. Faith works with joy together. Fear says, no, you can't do that anymore. You're too old. You're too young. You're not educated enough. You're this, you're that. Well, you have a criminal record, blah, blah, blah. Fear says no. And Satan likes using fear to keep us down. Sometimes fear works through our relatives and parents, and they mean well, people. But sometimes my mom said to me when I was starting my business, she said, don't do it. Don't do it. Go to Hy-Vee and work there. Night shift. They pay good. And I'm like, no, mom, I don't want to work in Hy-Vee. No offense to those who work in Hy-Vee. But I wanted to do something. I felt God has put a gift of business in me, and I wanted to do that. And so you have to listen to what God has put in you and do what he tells you to do and believe God. And the only way you can even attempt something is you walk in a state of joy. This week, I want you to practice this state of joy. This week, God wants you to rejoice always, no matter what the circumstances are. Number four, our God is a happy God. How do you see God? The way you see God, that's how you will react. If you see God the way the world sees it, you will see him as an angry old man ready to punish you for any mistake that you do. He's an old man with lightning bolt in his hand, ready to go, oh, I dare you, I dare you, okay. That's what we look at God as to be. But God is not like that. I want to show you that although God does get angry sometimes, the state of being of God is blessing forevermore. It's joy and happiness. So let me take you to the throne of God and show you what it looks like there. Open to Proverbs 8, 30 and 31. This is wisdom talking about herself. And she said, God created me before the world began, and I helped him organize and architect this world. Because this world is built with wisdom. We studied this at Bible study on Monday. So actually, that's where I got this point from. All right, thank you, Bible study. You're welcome. So wisdom says, I was the architect at his side. Whose side? God's side. So wisdom was helping God. When God was creating this world, wisdom was already there helping him create an architect. Notice God doesn't do anything without thinking through it and building it first on picture, on a table. I had a little dream or whatever it was. I was praying once and I saw a picture. And I saw this interesting picture. When I was praying, I saw a balcony of heaven. This doesn't happen a lot to me, so I remember it when it does. I saw the balcony of heaven, but I saw God in this balcony, and in front of him was a humongous table. And next to him at the right hand was a younger person standing. And they were looking at this table, and they were building a city. Now, I don't know if it's biblical, so don't take it as a Bible. I'm not saying I was spiritual. Maybe it was just something. Maybe it was a sugar rush or something. I don't know. But that's what I saw. And I saw them standing and they were building. They were planning. And I knew that it was just a model of what they wanted to do. God is a planner. So it says, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight. So in the throne room of God, in the courts of God, there is what? Constant Somebody's happy there. That's what I'm trying to say. Rejoicing always in His presence. So what's going on in the presence of God? Delight, rejoicing always in His presence. So in God's throne room, let me show you this. If you can even think that, you know, just think about it. There's joy. It's happiness there. Complete joy. And how happy I was with the world He created. How I rejoiced with the human family. God is not only happy in heaven, He's happy about human family. We are His most treasured possession. We are the top of His creation. He loves animals, but He loves you way more. Bible says He cares for the lilies. He cares for the birds of the air. But you are a whole nother level. That's what I'm talking about. So God, when He thinks about you, He's happy. Some of you are like, what about when I sin? Well, when He looks at you, when you sin, He doesn't look at just you. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He sees no sin because He already punished your sin on the cross. So when He looks at you, He rejoices over you. But what if I sin? Well, He'll discipline you. It says that in the Bible. Amen. But guess what? He's not mad at you. He's like, I'm going to correct him. And discipline is not beating, you know? Discipline is correcting. Say, son, don't do it this way. Do it this way. Daughter, not this way, this way. So He'll discipline you, but He'll never stop loving you. And Bible says He rejoices over the human family. Another scripture, Zephaniah 3:17. This is beautiful because this adds to what God is like and what He feels about you and me. The Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will come all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful singing. So God doesn't only, He's not only a happy God, He delights over you. So this is not just wisdom delighting in His presence. This scripture gives us a glimpse of what God is like. And He's happy about you. And some of us are screwed up, but He's still happy about us. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. My daughter Hadessa just turned 1 year old. And she started crawling. She doesn't walk yet. She crawls. And when she crawls, she lowers her head, looks at the floor, and crawls. And sometimes what she does, we have this French door, and she opens it a little bit, and then it slowly starts closing. But she puts her head down, and she starts going at it and bumps her head. Right? Kids do that. And sometimes when she bumps her head, and that's how we learn, right? She sits down and starts crying. But she doesn't just cry, because it hurts. I notice her go like this, beating herself. And as a good parent, Tanya or I, we come to her, we grab her, and we comfort her with... Okay. With His love, He will come all your fears. In another translation, New King James Version, it says He will comfort you with His love. That's what it says. So this is us. We're like that. When we bump our head somewhere, we get hurt somewhere, instead of coming to Him and allowing Him to comfort us, guess what we do? Start beating ourselves even more. Have you ever done a mistake and then was beating yourself? God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to come to me and let me comfort you. God, He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fear. He will rejoice over you with joyful singing. Now, let me explain this and I'm almost done. God rejoices and God sings. Have you ever been so happy about something that you started singing? When your football team is winning on TV or you're in the stands, what do people start doing? They're cheering, yes, but then it breaks into singing. Right? Come on. And you see a whole bunch of men, you hear this on TV, a whole bunch of men sing. You don't even hear the women. Because men, when they can sing, they sing. God is so overjoyed about you that he begins to sing. See, when I do, what I do is I take my baby girl. I don't like for my kids to cry. So I take her, I comfort her with love. And then after I comfort her, I say, are you okay? Smile for daddy. And I wait till she smiles. And then she gives me this big smile, like, I'm okay. And then everything is better. Then I could sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Do you see how God thinks about you? So why would you be depressed? So God is excited about you. God is in love with you. And even if we make mistakes, he doesn't reject us. He says, come, I'll give you a hug. Do you remember prodigal son and a father? That's a story of God and us. And when we come, turn to him. Because sometimes we can be stubborn and say, no, I don't want you to hug me. I don't want you to comfort me. I've done too many things wrong. I'm such a bad sinner. Let me clean up my life. Then I'll let you comfort me. God says, don't even try. Just let me comfort you and bring joy back into your life. Because when God rejoices, you cannot not rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue this series next week. So you got to come back. Because I'm just one page through. And I worked way too hard this week to put this together. So, hallelujah. Are you getting this, church? I believe Holy Spirit is moving because God wants to do something. God wants you to accomplish something for his kingdom. And he can only do it in a state of joy and faith. Allow him to fill you with joy. Allow him to grab you and hug you and comfort you like we do comfort our children. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.